Elwood was a prefect, so his room that year was a splendid one, with a window that opened onto a strange outcrop of roof. He was always scrambling around places he shouldn't. It was Gaunt, however, who truly loved the roof perch. He liked watching boys dipping in and out of Fletcher Hall to pilfer biscuits. Prefects swanning across the grass in court. The organ master coming out of chapel. It soothed him to see the school functioning without him, and to know that he was above it. Elwood also liked to sit on the roof. He fashioned his hands into guns and shot at the passers-by. "Bloody Fritz! Got him in the eye. Take that home to the Kaiser!" Gaunt, who had grown up summering in Munich, did not tend to join in these soldier games. Balancing the Prosciutian on his knee as he turned the page, Gaunt finished reading the last In Memoriam. He had known 7 of the 9 boys killed. The longest In Memoriam was for Clarence Rosevere, the older brother of one of Elwood's friends. As to Gaunt's own friend and enemy, Cuthbert Smith, a measly paragraph had sufficed to sum him up. Both boys, the Prosciutian assured him, had died gallant deaths, just like every other Prosciut student who had been killed so far in the war. "Pow!" muttered Elwood beside him. "Auf Wiedersehen!" Gaunt took a long drag of his cigarette and folded up the paper. "They've got rather more to say about Rosevere than about Cuthbert Smith, haven't they?" Elwood's guns turned back to hands. Nimble, long-fingered, ink-stained. "Yes," he said, patting his hair absent-mindedly. It was dark and unruly. He kept it slicked back with wax, but lived in fear of a stray curl coming unfixed and drawing the wrong kind of attention to himself. "Yes, I thought that was a shame." "Shot in the stomach." Gaunt's hand went automatically to his own. He imagined it opened up by a streaking piece of metal. Messy. "Rosevere's cut up about his brother," said Elwood. "They were awfully close, the 3 Rosevere boys." "He seemed all right in the dining hall." "He's not one to make a fuss," said Elwood, frowning. He took Gaunt's cigarette, scrupulously avoiding touching Gaunt's hand as he did so. Despite Elwood's tactile relationship with his other friends, he rarely laid a finger on Gaunt, unless they were playfighting. Gaunt would have died rather than let Elwood know how it bothered him. Elwood took a drag and handed the cigarette back to Gaunt. "I wonder what my In Memoriam would say," he mused. "Vain boy dies in freak umbrella mishap? Investigations pending?" "No," said Elwood. "No, I think something more like, English literature today has lost its brightest star." He grinned at Gaunt, but Gaunt did not smile back. He still had his hand on his stomach, as if his guts would spill out like Cuthbert Smith's if he moved it. He saw Elwood take this in. "I'd write yours, you know," said Elwood quietly. "All in verse, I suppose." "Of course, as Tennyson did for Arthur Hallam." Elwood frequently compared himself to Tennyson and Gaunt to Tennyson's closest friend. Mostly Gaunt found it charming, except when he remembered that Arthur Hallam had died at the age of 22, and Tennyson had spent the next 17 years writing grief poetry. Then Gaunt found it all a bit morbid, as if Elwood wanted him to die so that he would have something to write about. Gaunt had kneed Cuthbert Smith in the stomach once. How different did a bullet feel from a blow? "Your sister thought Cuthbert Smith was rather good looking," said Elwood. "She told me at Lady Asquith's last summer." "Did she?" asked Gaunt unenthusiastically. "Awfully nice of her to confide in you like that."
"Maud's A1, said Elwood, standing abruptly. "Capital sort of girl."
A bit of slate crumbled under his feet and fell to the ground 3 stories below.
"Christ, Ellie, don't do that," said Gaunt, clutching the window ledge.
Elwood grinned and clambered back into the bedroom.
"Come on in, it's wet out there," he said.